assist with construction there as well. Outside of that, it looks like things are moving along okay in and throughout the Monterey Bay area. 70 forecast is currently 69 degrees at the KSCO station. We are looking at partly cloudy skies tonight, lows into the 60s. And for the next week going out, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, highs in the up touching 80s, partly cloudy at night, lows into the 60s. For you boaters, we got a small craft advisory. Small craft advisory is in effect from 9 a.m. this morning through late tonight. Small craft advisory will be in effect from Wednesday morning through Wednesday evening. Now, with that said, my last show with you guys this evening is with quite a crew here. Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Where are your papers? Brandon, where are your papers? You cannot buy sandwiches unless you show us your papers. And Chris, where are your papers? You cannot buy paint or plumbing supplies for your house unless you show your papers.
Wow. Chris, do you think that could actually happen here in today's world?
You tell me, Brandon. Yeah. We've already been made to wear masks. What? When we go into stores, everything that we need, we have to have something on our face. And tonight we're going to be discussing vaccines and possible, I don't even like saying the word, mandates. And what they mean to our way of life and how they're going to be affecting us. But before we dive into this heavy topic, let's ease into something lighter.
Yes. It's interesting, mandates. Yeah, this is going to be an amazing time tonight to talk about it, and we want to welcome you to Wake the Bear Radio because we really believe that this is a time for us to wake the bear of California. Wake the bear, wake the voice, wake your roar. We've been silent for too long. It's time for people of like mind and sanity to start speaking up and no longer being silent. And it's one of the reasons we came, we've started Wake the Bear Radio is we really believe that people feel shamed into silence and it's time to start speaking up. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Wake the Bear Radio, we're here on 1080. 1080 KSCO Radio. We're going to have callers calling in at 8:30, so please call in and talk to us. It's at 479-1080. And yeah, that's coming up soon. And the topic tonight, the topic that we're going to be talking about is vaccine mandates. Is it the mark? Vaccine mandates. Is it the mark? That's what we're going to be talking about. But anyways, I just wanted to open up to my co-hosts here, Ron Powers and Chris Hurst. How are you guys doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Well, I was doing pretty well, and then you brought up the M word mandate, but no, I'm doing great because we are on the winning side.
Amen. That's right.
And we are filled with hope. We've got a God of hope.
That's right.
And we don't have to wonder who's in control, and he empowers us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing this show about.
Yep.
Wake the Bear is a the ability to bring these controversial subjects of public importance that need a safe platform and to clarify and discern what the perspectives are and to give God's perspective and to really show how do we have an honoring way of navigating through these things. We'll throw light on subjects that are not being covered in mainstream media and make it easy to understand. And we'd like to make it free of confusion or ambiguity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to really empower people and activate them. We want to empower people, to give them power, to give the power back to the people and activate people, those who love God, who love family, who love country, to participate in our local, regional, and state authority structures. So we've been without a voice, and we need to take that voice back. So we want to empower you. We want to activate you. And all of this we want to do with an atmosphere of hope, right? Because there is hope, because we know who's really in charge, that the God of hope is in charge still, and we trust in him. So that's why we come to you, because we have a God of hope. And so we're going to talk from a hopeful perspective. We really do believe we win. We really do know that we win. So it's a matter of just taking the land, fighting for it.
Absolutely. You know, and there's more of us than them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a minority group that has a loud voice. A lot of it's because of the mainstream media, and they appear to be big. But if you look, there's quite a few people, and I would say more by far, that are like us, that care about God, country, and family, you know? So I'm excited to amplify that voice.
Yeah, and so, you know, just a little bit about us. My name is Brandon Johnson. I'm actually a pastor, a local pastor here in Santa Cruz County. Been here for probably 14, 15 years. Was in San Jose before that, coaching football over at the high school and teaching Bible. And now I'm over here just ministering the gospel, the good news of Jesus to this region.
Amen. Hey, you know, I want to say that I listened to your service via Zoom, and it was amazing. I really enjoyed it. Not as an entertainment enjoyed. I enjoyed it because I grew from it. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed about you, Brandon, is you've always been an encourager to everybody. You encourage people, and
thanks,
you pull
Ron.
The gold out of them. You know, you find their talents, you find their strengths, and you just amplify that to them, or you explain it to them. Hey, you've got this gift, and I've seen that over and over, and I've seen so many people grow just around you, just from your influence. So I just wanted to say that I didn't tell you I was going to watch, but I just enjoyed it very much.
Thanks for watching. It was a Facebook live feed on the Gathering web or a Facebook page, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, wow. Thanks for the kind words. So I'm also really excited to be here with Ron and Chris. Ron is an amazing lover of people. He's got loads of life where he goes out and washes people's clothes and homeless people's clothes, and then gives them back to them clean and folded and just and you're doing a ministry even on Thursday nights, aren't you, right now?
Yeah, we had like a total breakthrough. You know, so we decided. You know, I don't know if you've seen The Chosen, that series, but man, I get so blessed when I watch it. I get like in tears a lot of times when I watch that. Just it just ministers to me a lot, and so. Anyway, I thought, you know what? Those that are homeless, you know, they should watch this too. That, you know, Jesus was the greatest tent dweller around, you know, and in this movie, Jesus doesn't have a home, you know. And so what we did is we got an outdoor screen and a projector. And, you know, I was getting just a handful, two, three, four people each week. But then someone said, hey, feed my people. Let's bring some food. Mm. And boy, they came out. It was like 80 plus people. And then we had at least two dozen just hanging around and watching the movie. And we had a bunch of volunteers from various churches. It was not a church sanctioned thing. It was just a bunch of believers coming out there, and they were praying and talking with each person. It was like a one-on-one for the night. It was awesome. So
that's fire.
That was
dude.
Thursday. That was good.
That was beautiful. Yeah. People are getting blessed. And our other co-host here is Chris Hurst, who is an amazing woman of God, just a great friend, a powerful prayer warrior. And tell us about yourself, Chris. I'll do it if you don't.
Well, one of the things that I consider one of my assets is I just love this area. I grew up in Santa Cruz County. I've been a resident since 73. So don't try to do the math there. And I consider this place home. And the people that are here, I love. So when I walk around town, I am having an ongoing conversation with the Creator God of this universe.
So good.
About the people who are here, about the people who are hurting, about the people who are doing well, about the people who are encouragers, about the people who need encouragement. And my life is a life of intercession, and it's a conversation with God about who I am, who his people around are, and who he is. And and with those three things in mind, that pretty much puts things straight where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, and for those of you who don't know what intercessor means, it means one who goes between the people and God and speaks on their behalf. So that's a good word to declare. All right, well, hey, so moving into our subject tonight, which is the vaccines and the vaccine mandates. I mean, I don't like the word mandate because it's not a law. It's like
that's right.
It's not. It's not been debated by the representational government that we have, and I'm very not happy about it. But my big deal here is like, Ron, what got us to this place? Like, how did we get here?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I think I'm just going to go down some quick bullet points. Just how did we get here? So back in October 18th. 2019, we had a thing called Event 201, where you had the World Economic Forum with John Hopkins and the Bill and Melinda Gates, and they created a forum to talk about what would happen if we had a pandemic, and how are we going to do this, how we, you know, world and all that stuff. And so that was just 5 months before it all broke out.
Wow.
And, you know, in the end of December, China informs the World Health Organization of their first cases of this mysterious virus, and by January 11th, the first death is linked to this virus. By January 23rd, Wuhan is now under quarantine, so they found where it was coming from. By the end of January 2020, the World Health Organization declares a global health emergency. And then 2 weeks later, they declare the virus as COVID-19, because COVID is basically common cold. It's been around for a long time.
It's on the boxes for handy wipes.
That's right.
COVID virus.
It is. And so by March, Italy goes into lockdown. By March 10th, Bill Gates gives $50 million to the World Health Organization. And mysteriously, the next day, the World Health Organization declares the outbreak to be a pandemic. Hmm. Funny how that happens. So what happens the next day after that? Dow Jones loses 10%, worst crash since 1987. Wow. And that same day, Dr. Fauci starts to claim that COVID is 10 times more deadly than the flu. So now all of a sudden people are getting scared and panicked. Wow. This is horrible. Yet, you know, the 2 weeks later, he publishes a paper saying COVID is more likely less than the flu, like 0.1%. But then the next day, he's on a comedy show with Trevor Noah, and he says that it's still 10 times deadlier than the flu. So we're getting a conflict.
Yeah, we're getting
of
a double message here.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So I think some of this is just fear porn, you know? And so, and then the WHO, by the end of March, they're saying that the transmission is of COVID is equal to that of the flu. And keep that in mind because, you know, all of a sudden in 2020, the flu dropped to like zero.
Yeah,
it's like no cases.
Like CDC did not follow flu deaths, basically.
Yeah.
They didn't report flu deaths.
That's right. Well, you don't get any money if you report the flu. But if you report COVID, your hospital gets all kinds of money. So, you know, if you're in a motorcycle accident and they test you for, well, the test is a whole nother thing. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
It's as faulty as can be.
Right.
But by March 31st, third of the world's locked down. By mid-April, President Trump stops $400 million from funding the World Health Organization. And the reason why he did that was because he says, hey, there's unneeded deaths that are being created by you guys. You guys are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I happen to agree with him on that.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is a week later, a Danish study says that COVID infection fatality rate is really 0.082%.
Wow.
So that's like less than a tenth of 1%. So it's quite low. A Japanese study just 2 days later said the same thing at 0.01%.
Wow.
So it's really, you know, it was good to have these independent ones. I'm almost done with this list here. So the WHO admits, the WHO meaning
World Health Organization,
not the awesome rock band of the 70s. But anyway, they admit that Sweden is actually a model to follow for pandemic. And yet they didn't support it at all. They went and said, we still need to lock down. So that was very interesting. Mm. And then let me go to the next page because these are just so many bullet points, but I don't want to...
Before you jump into the next one, I want to just say a couple things. We got here saying we're going to do 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yes.
And we're now almost 2 years into this.
Yeah.
The lockdowns, the mandates, the... I mean, just an article just came out today that said that Americans actually vastly overestimate the COVID-19 hospitalization rates. There's a poll that was done, a Gallup poll, that that people underestimate. That you just said it's like 1%, and people are thinking it's 50% people that die from get it. So something's happened where that fear has taken over the world. And in some ways, the fear is worse than the actual virus itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, what's funny is during that time when they, quote, overestimated, you know, do you remember all those nurses doing those music videos and stuff? And everyone's dance. Like, oh, frontline, you know, and they're boy, they had a lot of time, yet they were supposed to be packed. I did see a lot of videos where people just walked in with cameras and they're like, where are all the people?
Where are all the bodies? Yeah, yeah. I saw the in Spain, they did that, where they went in and they were looked in. There was actually... people, they were like, where are all the bodies? There was nobody in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remember New York and all that stuff were at record capacity.
Right.
And yet those mercy ships, empty.
Empty.
Not a single bed.
And the hospital out there on the grass by Samaritan's Purse, empty.
Empty. So it's because, well, anyway. By May 19, 2020, the global COVID fatality rate is at 0.2%. So still way under 1%. And what's interesting is a couple days later, they find out that the 25 richest billionaires gained $255 billion in 2 months. Interesting how that works, you know. Yeah. A lot of people made a lot of money. Two days later,
it's no different right now. Did you know that this year, the 10 richest people made 20% more than they did in 2020? Whoa. So not only did they do well in 2020, they have banked in 2021.
Absolutely.
That just feels wrong. I mean, and then all the middle class, all of their businesses. I mean, small businesses, the largest business in America, it makes up a small business, and they've gotten hit. Mm-hmm. Going out of business, one after another, mom and pop shop, and the big guys, rich guys, are getting richer.
Yeah, the Home Depots and Walmarts, they stayed open, and yet all the mom and pop shops, they were told to be closed. So,
well, we're gonna get it in a few minutes. I want you to keep going, but I just want to remind people that we're on KSCO 1080. We want you to call it in about a few minutes here. At 8:35, we'll be taking calls. So start calling about 8 o'clock, 479-1080, and we want to hear what you have to have. What you think about this? Is this vaccine mandates? This now being made it your mandate? Is this the mark of the beast? Is this what the Bible talks about in Revelation? And we'll ask. You know, give us your opinion. All right. Go ahead.
We'll see. I only just got a couple more. So okay. So the next 2 days later in May, the killing of George Floyd triggers demonstrations. So now the world has got confusion. Things are burning. It's getting crazy. Then the World Economic Forum announces a need for a great reset.
Right.
And then
Time magazine had it on it front page.
Yep. First week of June in 2020, and then I'll do the last one here. July 15th, Klaus Schwab releases this book called COVID-19: The Great Reset.
Wow.
Basically, he was saying, "Well, Brandon, do you want to talk about that?"
I watched multiple videos of heads of state, Prince Charles and others, say this is their opportunity to change the world the way we want it. And we're talking about the World Economic Forum is a bunch of billionaires who get together and talk about how they want to change the world the way they want it without anybody electing them. They've decided this is what we're going to do. And it's very clear, you know, however it came out, whether intentional or not, there are some people that have really jumped on it to push their agendas. And that's, you know, that's pretty clear. That's what's going on.
Yeah, one of them is that nobody owns their own property, but they'll be happy.
Oh, yeah, that's one of their articles. It literally says, you will own nothing and be happy.
It kind of sounds like the surf days, and I'm not talking about Santa Cruz surf here. I'm talking about S-E-R-F,
serfdom.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and really what they're talking about is communism. They say it's stakeholder capitalism, but it's actually communism, where the bourgeoisie... they're never going to have a problem with a pandemic, and then the proletariat, right? And then you're trying to get the proletariat to hate the middle class.
Yeah.
And that's basically what's been going on, and it's classic Marxist style. That's been going on.
What do you think that the elite would do with the year of Jubilee, when all debts are canceled? Like wow, God has every 50 years.
Wow. Oh, that'd be nice.
I think the key is that there's multiple agendas going on. People will say, oh, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. And I'm like, listen, I'm just asking questions. There's evidence in front of me. I'm doing the scientific, you know, four-step, make a hypothesis, test the hypothesis. That process is what we need to all be doing because we're not getting all the facts. And many, I did a lot of posts on Facebook and other places. There's like 11 of the 12 things they told us were completely false or lies, flat-out lies. If you can't say, it smells like some additional master agendas are going on here, you've got to wake up. And I really believe this is part of what the Wake Up Bear Radio is saying there's something going on that's not okay, and we need to, like, push back against it.
Absolutely. You know, even the science behind it, it's very questionable, to say the least. I mean, you look at, you know, we do all this test called the PCR test, right? And that is supposed to determine whether you've had it or not. That's what we've been using. But, you know, the very person that invented it, Mr. Kerry Mullis, you know, he said you cannot use it to measure viruses. This is the wrong test for that. And he also said that you can basically find anything in anybody. And so what happens with a PCR test is they take a little swab, and you might have one molecule of something. And what they'll do is they'll amplify it and amplify it and amplify it. And so what happens is the first year while Trump was in office, they were amplifying it 35 to 40 times.
Cycles.
Yeah. Cycles, yeah. It's called a cycle threshold. And what happened was everybody's getting all these false positives. So we had these huge case numbers being reported. But yet, I'm asymptomatic, you know, so deadly, you don't even know you have it, right? Well, it was, you know, frontline doctors say it's 80 to 90% false positives. I read quite a few places where it was 97%. So if you multiplied the amount of cases reported by 0.03, that's really how many cases that may have been. And so that's horrible science because they shut down the world for something that did not have to be a pandemic at all.
Well, and here's the situation. It hasn't changed. I mean, we're still using the PCR test, aren't we?
Well, yeah.
Yes, they lowered the cycle count to between 25 and 28 in January when Joe was the resident of the U.S., you know.
And yes, so, 3 days after inauguration.
Yes.
And yes, we got a little reprieve on the numbers. But I know my best friend was a microbiologist in the Bay Area here working in a hospital lab, and he would say, Chris, there's something not right. We are being asked to run these tests at numbers that the inserts say not to run them in. Mm-hmm. And so he was very concerned at the number of positives. And some places I've heard that even fruit has positive results and even goats and other unusual animals.
Yeah, it blows me away because when they came out and they said, the PCR test is, you know, the rapid PCR test is 97% ineffective with false positives. I'm like, wait, hold on a second. Are you talking about the test that you've been using worldwide to create world pandemic fear? That test you've been using is 97% ineffective and you're going to stop using it this year in December? That's what they said. I'm like, so when I downloaded that little app to my phone that had all the red dots of all the world all over, that was the test that you were using? Well, no wonder you created this hysteria around the world that everybody's freaking out about. And I was listening to another doctor. He said basically the doctors and the nurses are also so scared that they weren't even treating COVID early. They're just like, bring him back in when he can't breathe. And then we'll put them on a ventilator and try to get all that, you know, aerosol particles captured so that no one else gets sick. And that fear drove all this. I mean, think about how easy it was to pull down this app that has this dashboard with all these red dots all over the place and people dying everywhere. Now, have you ever gone on and looked at the raw data for VAERS,
it's a vaccine adverse event reporting system.
It is so difficult to use. So the tool that you can download on your phone so everybody can get scared is really easy to use. But the tool to tell us that the vaccine is also killing people is unlimitedly difficult to use. Now, the only thing that's actually good is OpenVAERS. The OpenVAERS actually shows you that there's 15,000 reported deaths from the vaccines. So it's like...
But only 1% of adverse reactions are reported, according to, if I remember right, it was a Harvard study.
Right.
So, I mean... there's probably a lot more cases. But yeah, you see a lot on the videos too out there, and they're just heartbreaking. Yeah. I mean, just normal people, mothers and children, and just, you know, they got the palsy.
With us, Renee.
Yep.
Whew, party yes. On, Wayne.
Sorry, we are. That's a good reminder. Yeah. That's a good reminder, so that we are KSCO.
We're going to take calls in 5 minutes. Why don't you just tell us about KSCO, Ron?
Yes, KSCO, and it is 1080 on your AM dial. And our purpose for this show is, again, to bring hope and encouragement. That's one of the things. I know that we're talking about some dark stuff right now, but I guarantee you there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Light.
God is in control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we must go through this. You know, people aren't willing to change unless they're brought to the precipice of destruction sometimes.
Near-death experiences.
And so we'll talk about, you know, we talked about the horribleness of the actual COVID, but now we'll talk about the vaccines. That's the other part that's quite scary.
I wanted to just bring up the subjects of the mandatory vaccines that have come about, especially since Mr. Biden has made his decree in the White House of having mandatory vaccines on September 11th, or it was the 10th, it was either the 10th or the 11th, he made his decree that that all the federal employees, including the military, would be required to have mandatory vaccines. And he started some motion that I think was very important. And as much as I didn't like what he said, what it did was it got some lawsuits started. And so basically, he was implementing the COVID vax mandate for businesses over 100 people, as well as for government workers. And in those businesses, they would be fined if they didn't monitor vaccination status or require their employees to be tested weekly. Wow. And as a result, what we've seen just this last 10 days since then is that different states have filed litigation against this administration. Businesses and representative groups like unions have also placed, they've put some lawsuits out. And why that is important is for anybody to come against the mandate, we need to see some injunctions and legal stays made, but those can't be made unless there is some legal actions.
Right.
And so there's got to be some fight back, even though there's been polls to show that the majority of Americans say that Mr. Biden does not hold the constitutional authority to force private businesses to require vaccine mandates for employees, and that they don't think that it is healthy for America. He's gone along and he's done it. And so what we're seeing is that there are going to be some litigation coming
through. Which is hope, right? I mean, the reality, this is hope. Like when we, because the enemy overplayed his hand and is demanding something that is not legal, people are waking up and saying, whoa, wait, we're going to, like, was it 23 different states, I think you said, that they've decided they're going to fight this?
Yeah, it's the governors, right. You know. They say this isn't a federal decision. This is something that the state should have authority over. And so we've got the 23 states thus far, as well as many unions, many private groups and businesses, but they have to start locally. And then they'll work themselves up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, what I love about that, Chris, is that what it's saying is that do not be intimidated. Like, don't. I'm just encouraging everybody out there right now. Don't give up your job. Don't quit. Let it play out, the process. Let the process play out. Do not be intimidated. Do not be made timid. Fight back. Speak out. Make them fire you and let the class action lawsuit happen. Don't give in before you don't give up the fight before
That's
the fight
right.
starts.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay?
Be strong and very courageous.
Right. A lot of people out there are like saying, oh, I'm just going to have to quit, I guess. And like, no, you quit, you lose. Okay. We're going to take some calls. It's 8:34. We're going to take calls that are coming in.
Our first caller here is from Monterey. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, I've been doing a fair amount of research on all this, and there's a lot of crazy things out there. For instance, on the FDA website directly, they talk about this thing called luciferase.
Oh, yeah. Seen that.
Have you heard about
yes.
that one?
Yeah, you're right on, caller.
Doesn't it have an interesting patent number on it?
I'm not sure if that's the one or not.
There are some patents. I just have a couple things to talk about here. Also in the Nature.com, which is a scientific journal, peer-reviewed research, they also talk about luciferase. And basically it's used as a testing system for respiratory viruses. And there's a, they say here that it has value for COVID diagnosis as well as disease and vaccination management. But in the Nature website, there's a, article, a journal about that. There's another component called Satan. And I'm not making this up.
I know, you're not.
Satan is serological assay based on split tripart nano luciferase.
Right.
Okay, so you need to look that one up.
Yep.
Okay, and then on MIT's website, because there's going to be problems because the vaccination cards, they're going to say they're too easy to be counterfeited.
Yep.
So what MIT has come up with is a specialized invisible dye to provide on-patient storage of vaccine history.
Yep, you're right. It's a it's a quantum dot. It's actually a four-dot microneedle.
Yeah, it's a quantum dot dye, exactly, a microneedle patch, and it's detectable by smartphones. So they're going to probably push that and say, because they're not going to let anybody go into stores. Eventually, they're probably going to include supermarkets, which you're going to need to be able to buy food.
Right.
And they're going to you can use a smartphone camera to see if someone, verify if someone has this.
Yep.
A couple other things really quick. There's the HR 666.
Yep.
HR 6666 basically is to, it's entities that conduct diagnostic testing of COVID-19 and related activities. They're going to have mobile health units and, as necessary, at individuals' residences and for other purposes. This is directly from the congress.gov website.
Wow.
So the thing is that if they're not going to let people even enter stores without this mark, Revelation 13:17 says,
yep.
So that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, the beast's name, or the number of its name.
Yep.
And I consider when you work, you're selling your time to get paid for that.
That's right.
You're Absolutely. Not going to be able to work anymore because they're going to fire everybody that doesn't get the vaccination. And, of course, it says, you're not going to be able to buy food to survive. So
thank you.
Hey, caller.
What do you do?
That is amazing.
Thank you so much. What was your name again?
Pete,
thank you so much for your call.
That'd be
a lot of good things.
Yeah.
I got to go to the next caller.
I'm glad that he talked about the actual passage of Scripture, which is it's straight up there. And I'm glad that he was able to just bring that forth, because if I had to say, hey, is this the mark of the beast? I would say no, but it is a dress rehearsal for it.
Absolutely.
I believe it's part of the beast system that's on its way.
Yeah.
So, okay. Keep going.
Okay. We got another caller and here you are, caller.
James. Hey, yeah. Interesting program.
John. Yes, John.
Yeah. Interesting program.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I did. Well, first of all, off the lip, I heard Dr. Gail Newell. She was discussing the early months of when this pandemic hit, and she was very humble. She said that her office, the state office, the federal offices, they were all kind of scrambling to figure out, how to go, and they made mistakes, and they corrected their mistakes, and that's what a scientist does. It's there's a lot of uncertainty in science, and you are. I know you were very critical of all these early decisions that were made, but I don't think they really knew what they were doing.
That's true.
And they knew it, and they kept at it. I mean, they are scientists; they're very, very qualified. And Dr. Newell was very, very humble. I mean, she just said, we were kind of winging it, but these people are very, very qualified. And here's the thing I'd like to ask you. You guys are very, very, very certain of your point of view. I mean, you're true believers in what you're doing. I don't think you can dispute that. I know you want to say you're taking a scientific point of view, but, man, you are really, really strong, almost to the point where I think you're doing a disservice to the community. But what I'd like you to do is discuss just a little. I know you have theological training, but when you're analyzing and stating all these opinions about the medical science that goes in to try to control the pandemic, what are your credentials in terms of science and training? And again, I'm not trying to be critical. I just think
that's
that
good.
No, it's a
good
very
question.
Good point.
I think I'm going to let Chris answer that question, caller, and then we're going to go to the next one. Go for it, Chris. Why don't you field that question there?
Yeah, I have a master's degree in emergency service administration, and a lot of that has to do with public health. And I have I do have a background in the medical field, although I worked as a field paramedic. I do have the epidemiology and the biochemistry. I've got the anatomy and physiology. And I have worked in the field with the training for how do we come against when SARS was in the field. I was in the field. And so we knew that there were certain things that worked and certain things that didn't work. Mm-hmm. So I have both field experience and education.
Yeah. And I think one of the most important things here is that I know you're saying that, oh, well, because we have a strong theological opinion or we have a strong opinion. I don't think that having a strong opinion means that we're not scientific. I think that I've done thousands of hours of research on this and, you know, and weighed the pros and cons of a lot of the evidence. That is just a logical, critical mind following the four steps of the process of analyzing the information. So,
yeah, I agree. I feel like I'm a scientist as well. I mean, I got a master's in engineering from Stanford, so I have a little bit of a technical background. But also, you got to weigh what is truth out there.
Yeah, all of us do.
You know, so as far as the PCR test, I go to the guy who invented it.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the actual mRNA, what they call vaccine, which is actually gene therapy, go to the person who actually invented it, and that would be Dr. Robert Malone. In fact, he is doing a worldwide crusade telling people, do not take these vaccines. I invented them. Do not take them. So I try to value where my information comes from. That's good. May not be perfect, and I could be wrong, yeah. And I appreciate that.
The key, though, is that we're doing a service to the community because we're actually getting the community to ask the hard questions and discuss it, and that's what talk radio is all about. Bringing in people that we've listened to and researched. So
okay, we got another caller
go
here.
It. Yeah.
Okay, this caller is James. James, you are on the air.
James.
Oh, excellent. Good evening. My name is James Ewing Whitman. You know, I think, what are my credentials? I've been in public safety since 1988, been a general contractor since 1993, probably listened to at least 60,000 hours of presentations, tens of thousands of hours of reading. It makes me quite a nerd. So what do I got to say?
Yeah,
I don't question my faith, but just about everything else, as real science questions everything.
Yes.
Let's go a little bit further back to the Biological Control Act of 1903. Let's go back to 1986. The vaccine corporations were going bankrupt due to lawsuits until Anthony Fauci strong-armed Ronald Reagan on November 13th, 1986. So from then, there was 13 vaccines that were causing the vaccine corporations to go broke. Now they're over 72 by the age of 18. How did we get here? Rockefeller, Stanford, Carnegie took over naturopathic medicine to create petroleum-based, finance-based Western medicines, profits over cures, i.e. to create sickness. This was done by 1909.
Wow.
As such, what happened to the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm?
Do no harm.
What happened to create the absolute evil we are unfortunately have today?
Mm-hmm.
May I continue briefly?
Yeah, you've got some great points. Keep going.
Okay. So I could provide at least 26 detox protocols that I use every day of my life because we are headed into a technocracy, techno-fascist, and
small
Bolshevik communist winter. In many areas besides the many bioweapons of the DNA and mRNA eugenic shots and bioweapons hidden in the PCR test, you know, I think everything is open to discussion, and I'm just glad to be able to speak freely, and I'll talk to you, Brendan, more. Thank you so much.
James, that was great. I mean, this is really what the Wake the Bear Radio is about, is getting people to read. You don't have to be a full-on scientist to follow the scientific method. You have to be this is what it's called, we the people making the rules, not people that are better than us and up in ivory towers. The government that was designed by our founding fathers was that we would be able to scrutinize the decisions that are being made by people and be able to say, hey, I think it's a bad decision what you're making. And I think we need to actually be able to say that. And we can say it honorably and lovingly and graciously, speak the truth in love, but we do need to speak. Yeah, and that's what Wake the Bear Radio is about. You got another caller?
I got another caller. But, hey, James, thanks for what you were saying earlier. And I would be interested if you can email us those protocols for the detox. Yeah. I'd like to read that and take more in. So thank you. Next caller is Gilligan. Gilligan, you're on the air.
There, Gilligan.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Yes. Yes. The COVID vaccine, it's a hit or miss. So it's not secure because they want you to take a second, third shot. It's like the flu shot. It's a vaccine.
Good point.
It's a hit or miss. It might be another virus. It still gets you sick, but it's also not secure. And they just scare the whole community, the whole state, the whole world. But then again, one thing that we don't hear about, where do we hear about the cemeteries? There's no more cemeteries. There's no more room. We hear about hundreds of thousands of people dying. Where are those people going?
Yeah.
It's just alive. It's just not there.
It's a good point.
It doesn't support. It's not support. And they still want to feel that this is what you got to do, and they just want to stick to you with another vaccine, which is not the cure. They should just say we have the COVID-19 cure and
endless boosters.
One.
Endless boosters,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That's, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate that. I want to say a few things about that. Dr. Peter McCullough just did a speech in August 26, and he actually talks about how he's an internist cardiologist. He's actually published over 500 peer-reviewed articles, and he talks about how it's basically been a big tragedy from the very beginning. It's been handled totally poorly, but he actually talks about how come the NIH and the CDC haven't come forward and told us how many people are dying from different vaccines? How come they're not saying, hey, there's three vaccines and this one's doing better for older people. This one's doing better for children. He said there's nobody's being a watchdog to these guys. And so you got a website like VAERS, Open VAERS, giving us the statistics, but they're supposed to actually come out and say, hey, if you're over this old, you should take this one. Because Moderna has like 100 particles in it, where like Pfizer has 30. And so 100 particles are too much for certain people. And 30 is, you know, so I'm not of the mindset that none of these vaccines are doing any good. But the question is, what is the long-term good? Because we haven't seen any long-term studies yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
even
we are
the recording
study.
Of deaths. Yeah. You know, if you die within 2 weeks of having your second dose, they count you as unvaccinated.
Wow.
I mean, that's just like, where's the science in that?
It's good.
That's there's...
good point.
There's something that happened, I think it was over the weekend. Ron, you were talking about it, the Rome Declaration. And it was an opportunity for other very qualified people who have previously been censored. And that, I think that is a big concern that I've had, is that that the voices that we are hearing through the mainstream media and even that the government is listening to are not the only voices. There are many, many qualified voices that are the doctors around the world, the frontline people who are doing treatment, and they have experienced career threats, character assassination, censorship of scientific papers
censorship.
And research. Social media accounts are blocked, and online search results are manipulated. Clinical trials and patient observations are banned, and their professional history and accomplishments are minimized in both academic and mainstream media. So when we talk about the qualified individuals, We want uncensored.
All of the qualified individuals, not just the official
information.
Official.
That's right. The state line or tote the line, the party line.
And Chris, have you ever done this before? Chris, where you go to, you get an opinion of a doctor, then you go to get a second opinion? Yeah. That's all we're asking for. Every American should be able to do that. Go to one doctor. Hey, I'm not sure I agree. Let me see another opinion. And oh my gosh. Like, you know, I had that happen to me when I was 8 days old. I had appendicitis. My mom took me to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, the baby's cry. And then he went to another doctor and, oh no, his appendix are about to burst. Bring him for surgery now. Like, okay, yeah. One doctor would have just let me die. They didn't investigate. So for us to be able to look at all the opinions of qualified board certified, you know, surgeons and medical people, that it's not just the official opinion. And that's, and this is one of the things that actually was said by Dr. McCullough, is he actually said that on December 10th, what was rolled out was called the Trusted News Initiative, where they were only going to push the vaccine and not push early treatment with hydroxychloroquine or any of these other. That happened. He said everything shifted because he was writing articles for journals, and all of a sudden, the Hill that he was writing for stopped his articles. And basically, they decided, they at the top said, this is how we're going to handle it. We're going to push vaccines only. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have two more callers that we could take because we're running out of time. So okay. I'm going to take the next one. The next one is Mike. Mike, you are on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to keep it short. Great show. Way, way, way more people need to hear this stuff. They want to give kids injections it wasn't 99.85% by the WHO's own reckoning, and then they said they only counted half the cases, so it's over 99.9% survivable, and even higher for kids. It looks like a lot of people are getting really sick or dying from these mRNAs. So I'm wondering if this isn't a population reduction scheme.
Yep.
And I'm sorry if I tuned in like about 10 minutes ago, so I'm sorry if I missed that. And Biden has been talking up the how we're at a point of no return in the climate and stuff. What they're doing looks insane and illegal, both. So I'm wondering, like, do they think they know something that we don't? Do they think they know there's an extinction-level event coming, and that's how they justify this craziness? And I'll take it off the air.
That's great.
Mike, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to say about the population control, you know, one of the things is Bill Gates Foundation, I mean, he has always talked about reducing population.
In his own words.
Yeah.
I watched it last night. Two times he said that we're going to reduce the world by, if we do a good job, we'll reduce the population by 15%. What?
Yeah. So you have the guy that's giving you the vaccine to save your life, but yet he talks about reducing population. It's just some flags that go up.
Yeah. We don't know for sure. I mean, obviously we don't know. And that's obviously a theory, but you know, we do need to ask the questions, because we're not being given all the answers and there's not a good debate going on. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I got another call from Bill. Bill, you're on the air.
Yeah, 3 points. The last one's a question. I met a guy once that made flu vaccines, and this was back in the 80s, and he said everybody was moving out of the country because of the lawsuits. So they're going out of country to manufacture the stuff. Second point is, I find it strange that all these pandemics are coming out of the Orient. The Singapore one was in 57 or 58. The Hong Kong flu was in 68. And then we had the SARS that came out of Hong Kong, if I remember right. Sounds almost like they're doing biological warfare on us. Since back in 57, I guess,
yeah.
In the Singapore one. Now, here's my question. Is there a cheap test for the herd immunity antibodies?
That is a great question. Like, how can you test somebody and say, oh, well, you definitely have the herd immunity antibodies. You did have COVID, and you now have the antibodies, and we don't have to worry about you, right?
It's Mike, right?
Bill.
Sorry. Bill, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but let me research it this week, and I will see what I can come up with for next week.
Yes. Okay, we got one more caller.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you
Bye.
So much, Bill.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Judith, you're our last caller.
Hi. Great show. I'm so excited. Thank God you're on the air. Anyway, my name...
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you for the encouragement.
Yeah. The mark is so great. There's a one of my favorite, what do you call them, influencers... or bloggers, She's a Christian lady, and she keeps telling us that it's not the mark. But after I saw this video by Dr. Carrie Medej, I don't know if that's the way to pronounce it, but that's why I'm calling, to let everybody please
check this out. Dr. Carrie Medej?
Carrie Medej. See, it's a woman, Dr. C-A-R-R-I-E. M-A-D-E-J.
Oh, yeah.
This is a site called, go to the site. It's called stopworldcontrol.com.
Yep, I've seen it.
And then /Medej. Okay, we have. Wow, I just found it because I was like looking through my, Yeah, I mean, she's talking about how it's changing the RNA. She says there's a battle raging for humanity, and she reveals how big tech collaborates with big pharma to introduce new technologies in the coming vaccines that will alter our DNA and turn us into hybrids.
Yeah.
This will end humanity as we know it and start the process of transhumanism. Human 2.0 is the plan. Yeah, so you already know about this. And
yeah.
So, well,
yeah. Did you have a question, or am I just going to make a few comments about that?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to let y'all know. And then also in 2017, Fauci, you know, gave a speech.
Yep.
And, yeah.
He said a surprise outbreak is going to come out.
Yep. It's going to be an outbreak. So thank God. Let's inform our listening audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Judith. God bless you. Yeah, I wanted to, we're getting close to the end of our show here. And we want to make sure that we wrap it up with some hope here. I mean, obviously, what we don't want to do is we don't want to say, oh, we're Christians, so everything's just going to be so hunky-dory. No, the history of Christianity is that they went through major persecutions. And that we're in a type of soft persecution right now that could unveil itself to a larger persecution. But this is the thing is, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in men. It's not in vaccines. It's in God. And I do believe that we're standing with the righteous ones around the world. Did you know in France there have been 11 straight weekends of thousands of people protesting vaccine mandates and lockdowns? 11 straight weeks of thousands of people. Just this last night I watched a video. The Zulus in Africa are protesting, thousands of them on the streets. They're all over the world, there are people who have a voice, and they're using their voice, and I believe they are part of the righteous remnant. They're going to speak out. So this is the key here. We have been given the opportunity to be salt and light on the earth. We as believers have been given the opportunity to speak truth to power. I know that's been used a lot too much, but we have been given the opportunity to set the example and to bring in the kingdom of God on the planet. And we just want to like make some declarations tonight before we end that, and I want to say one last thing. I am also, anybody who is looking into Jesus and is looking into a medical exemption, call me, write me. I will help walk you through getting a medical exemption. I've gotten help 5 people already. And if you're willing to name the name of Jesus and you're willing to look and read the scriptures and come up with what you actually believe, because, you know, persecution helps us decide what we actually believe.
That's right.
There's a lot of people coming to a conclusion about what they actually believe right now. If you want to call me or contact me, I will help you walk through. Now, you got to honestly say this is what you believe, but I'm going to help you walk through that if you would like.
And you can contact Brandon through the website, which is wakethebearradio.com. You'll look under Brandon, and he's got an email right there.
Yeah. And we're gonna wrap it up here. Chris, I know it looks like you got something. We got 58. We got a minute, basically.
Yeah, we just want to decree and declare that we love you, God. We love you. You are our rock. You are our fortress, and you are the one who rescues us. You are our rock and our strength and the one that we trust. You are our shield and the horn of our salvation, our strong tower and our stronghold. And we call upon the name of the Lord because it's a mighty name, and it changes things. It changes and transforms. And so we're just asking right now in the name of Jesus that you release what it is that we need for this time in history over your people to have wisdom to navigate this time on earth.
Yeah, I agree. We just decree and declare that we will not comply, that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and we will win. And God's plan will win. The enemy does not win. We've read the end of the book, not the middle of the end, but the end of the book. Jesus returns and Christ wins and we win. So we want to encourage you, put your faith in the Lord, find out who the Lord is, get to know him, read the Bible, get to get a good church, And we're going to have another show next week. We're excited to be here. What's the show next week going to be about? I think, is it Christians and Politics? What is it about?
It's either that one or the audit. We'll see what happens in the next week.
Yeah, so, watch the news.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for being on Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO 1070. We're excited.
1080.
I'm sorry. 1080, fix my numbers. Thank you guys so much, and we'll be back here next week. Come join us. Call in.
This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO 1080 on your AM dial.